for the Lord. You know, a lot of it revolves around repentance and pressing in, seeking His face. And I think also, I just can't even, we're just in place, you know? Like, there's just been a divine shift. We're just in place. And even setting our hearts towards repentance tonight. But part of tonight also, too, is declaration. We are going to continue to declare and prophesy the word of God over our nation. And I tell you what, guys, I don't know if I've ever seen more of a prophetic act than what Pam and Kurt did. I don't know if you noticed what they did, but they poured their, thank you, they poured their communion into the water. Water he's turned to wine. There is new wine. That was, man, I tell you what, I felt the glory of God on that hit me in such a profound way. I just thank you for being obedient in that. It's just time for new wine. And so listen, even in this song, and I forgot that we had picked this song out. I think, Kenny, did you suggest doing this song? When we got together for worship practice on Wednesday, I forgot about it while I was seeking the Lord and preparing for today. I forgot that we were going to be doing this song. And today is all about new wine that the Lord is going to be giving us in the preparation of the wineskin. And if you remember, I said last week too, just to touch on a little bit of, just a recap, out of Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, "See, I have set you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to destroy, to root out, to pull down, to throw down, and to build and to plant, and that everything we've gone through has been for the intention of building and planting." God is going to see and to get His kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. In the crushing, in the pressing, these things we have gone through, He's making new wine. He's ready to pour out new wine. Just the prophetic significance of everything that has been taking place leading up to this point in time. What a Kairos moment. If you remember, it was these holy moments. This, man, not a common thing. This was a holy moment. Us getting together again today with no restrictions. Holy moment. Jessica, God is going to visit your household and He's going to restore everything. Sevenfold that the enemy has tried to steal. He's coming to you in the night, and you're going to have dreams and visions of heaven, and I believe you're going to see the Lord high and lifted up, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 6, that you're going to see the Lord high and lifted up. He's going to show you His eyes of fire, and He's going to look into you as you look into Him, and He's going to restore everything to you that the enemy has tried to steal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If you guys could turn to Luke chapter 5 is where I'm going to be reading from today. Luke chapter 5, we'll start in verse 33. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start here. Luke 5, chapter 33. "Then they said to Him, 'Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?'" Now, those who are asking Jesus this question, when we read in Matthew and Mark, we find out that it's actually the disciples of John that is asking this question. So you know, the disciples of John ask Him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And you have to understand that we often know the answer that Jesus gives, but the question that was asked And in the context of the way that they asked this question, it wasn't with hearts who were actually looking for an answer. It was out of a heart of accusing Jesus' disciples. So it wasn't like they cared really why Jesus' disciples weren't fasting. They were more concerned of why they were. You know, like almost like an attitude of, well, why are we and they're not? They didn't really want the answer. They were just trying to make a point of, this is what we're doing. Why aren't you? It was more of a statement than it was really a question. And Jesus answers and he says this, and he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. And verse 36 says this, then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken off the new does not match the old. He goes on in verse 37 and says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskin be ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. And even in today, as I was coming down, so let me say this. So Jesus's answer, I mean, obviously he's able to perceive their hearts. He's able to understand, and they're almost accusing in their questions. And he gives this response that no matter where their heart was at originally, the response he gives forces them to see a new thing. Not that the old was bad. It says in the Old Testament, man, there was a glory. There was a glory on the law. There was a glory on the commandments of God. Now, we've been given better promises and a better covenant. But there was still a glory. I mean, Moses still had to cover his face because of the glory that was on him. Jesus is basically saying to them, listen, what you have done is for a time, but here I am. And that was the reason they weren't able to perceive the new thing standing right in front of them, because they were still looking for him to come as king, not as a servant born in a manger, riding in on a donkey on palm leaves. You know, they were still looking for this king to come to restore Israel even in this day, but them being stuck in their old ways kept them from seeing him right here standing in front of them. God is going to be mantling us all over again. There's a new mantle to come. Listen, God is going to again continue and in a new way visit this house. I think today was just a prelude into what God is doing. Because we've just gathered together, even over the last couple weeks, just the fine-tuning of turning our attention back to holy things and not considering them common. That's what Elijah did when he sees the cloud the size of a man's hand rising. It hadn't rained in 3 years. Now, can you imagine how common it would be to just see a small cloud? But when he saw this off in the distance, now even 7 times he tells Ahab what to go up and check to see if there was anything coming. Nothing, 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 nothing. And all of a sudden, out of the sea rises the cloud of a man's hand, the size of a man's hand, completely insignificant compared to, you know, the thunder clouds or the thunderstorm clouds we see rolling in. A small cloud, seemingly insignificant, but in context of it not raining in 3 years, he sees this and instantly turns it to a holy thing. It wasn't a common thing because it hasn't happened in 3 years. And he sees this and he recognizes this. This is a holy moment we're in right now even. This is a kairos moment. God is taking off old garments and he's putting on new garments. He's taking away the old wineskin and he's making, listen, even he doesn't just throw out the old wineskins. That's what I want to really touch base on today is let's just take another look at verse 38. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says that the old is better. Listen, in the Greek, that word better actually means easy or pleasant or comfortable. So that verse could be read this, verse 39, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is easy. Or he says, oh, the old is comfortable. The old is good. It's good enough, you know, and it can keep us stuck in this place of not even desiring new wine. But what we're tasting, what we're seeing, what we're giving our attention to, this is new wine, that we are being the obedience. Praise God for summer and just the worship team of being led. That was an obedient moment that led us into a holy place. Small acts of obedience are leading us into holy moments, you guys. Nobody having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. It's easy. It's comfortable. Old wineskins would rather keep it easy, the comfortable way. But God is, remember, I said this last week, he is revealing, removing, reforming, and restoring. And part of that is the old wineskin and making it new. In the process and how they actually reform and make old wineskins new is they rub water and oil into them deeply. So they don't just throw out the old wineskin and disregard it. What they do is they pour water on it and then take oil and rub it in. And that's why this hunger, this stirring in my heart to get us back to the word, because, you know, we refer to and we know that the water of the word, it refreshes us. It softens us up. The oil of his presence and these things are softening up the hard place. Listen, my heart has been hard. I have not been responding the way that I know I need to be responding. The things around, everybody's angry. Everybody's all tensed up. Everybody's frustrated with everything. And I'm noticing, I didn't even realize that I was until it was coming out in these moments. And I'm realizing my heart has gotten hard. My heart is it needs water. My heart needs the water of the word. My heart needs the oil of his presence more so now than ever. Because he's doing a new thing and he loves me so much that he would allow me to know the condition of my heart to cry out for water and oil and not just throw me off and disregard me altogether because I failed or I missed it. Like 5 or 6 different times this week, man, I missed it big time. And I know that it's the grace of God that he's going to empower me and bring that back around. And this time I know that my dad has the answers. And if I could just rest in his presence. That's why this morning was so, so powerful that we rest and we drink him in and it changes my mindset and now my thoughts drop to my heart and it become meditations of my heart and out of my heart now flow the issues of life and out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks and our hearts are the wineskins. That's what God is doing. He's pouring water and oil onto our hearts that we would be able to see, he cares way too much about the wine and the old wineskin. God actually cares about me, even in my horrible things and my hard heart. He still cares and loves me to the degree that he's going to hold back new wine until my heart is able to receive it. And I believe that there's even areas and degrees of his love and his grace and his mercy that if he would pour out the fullness and he gave it all, all of it is available to us, but we know that he's a good father and he's not going to give me something that's going to eventually make me worse off in the end than what I am right now. And so I even believe that there's degrees of his love for my life that he wants to pour out, but he knows that my heart can't receive it right now until I allow the water of the word and the oil of his presence to continue to soften up and to make my heart ready. So when he does pour out the new wine, my heart is able to receive it and I don't burst at the seams and spoil the new wine and my heart be ruined. He's taking water and he's taking oil and he's rubbing it deeply, deep into the areas of our hearts that are still hardened. Here's the challenge in all of this, to avoid imposing past traditional structures on present renewals. Understand that yesterday's structures and forms are often incapable of handling today's dynamic of spiritual renewal. The resistance is to not allow the things that I did yesterday. See, here's the thing about even Revelation. Revelation yesterday becomes wisdom today. The things that I received that were revelation to me yesterday become wisdom now today that I'm able to apply and walk out in areas of my life and give away. But if I don't receive fresh revelation today, I have no wisdom for tomorrow. And it keeps us going. But you want it, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, men and women of God who walk in wisdom. They are men and women who continually go back to the Father to get revelation today that becomes tomorrow's wisdom. And today's wisdom, and I receive more revelation, and now it becomes wisdom for tomorrow. And it's just this ongoing process. The challenge is to not allow the past things, the past way that I used to do things, not that it was wrong, but it was for yesterday. We need new today. And that's what he's doing. He's pouring out new wine. But we can become so content and satisfied with the old, we don't even desire the new. But that's not the case here. That's not the case in his house. We are hungry. We are hungry for the new. And we know that it's time for it. I want to flip to Ephesians chapter 1. Because in the new wine and in the new mantling that God is doing and in the softening of our wineskins, we are about to be given. One of my greatest struggles in the Lord has been knowing that I've been called, have an anointing, have a desire to do things, and still not being fully released into it. Knowing it was there, not being able to fully step into it, and every time I would try to step into something ahead of the timing of the Lord, I would get a taste and see of what the things I was called to, but wasn't able to fully go into it. And it was just this constant battle between my purpose and trying to find my assignment and all of these things. And because we are giving our hearts over to the Lord to a new degree, to a greater depth, we're going to find, each one of us is going to find our purpose. And out of our purpose, we're going to find an alignment for our assignments. And we're going to begin to, not that we haven't, but even to a greater degree, walk in our callings, walk in our destinies. Starting in verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. In the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That verse 18 can also be read this way, in the eyes of our hearts being enlightened, that you may know. See, all of this just comes back to the condition of our hearts in this moment. And we can't step into anything unless God calls us to. And we know that we do in striving and all of our efforts. It counts for nothing anyways. What our position is right now, and I feel and I believe that the call today is that we would just offer up our hearts afresh and anew. And that's kind of what kind of took away the end of what I was hoping to do. But that's God and it wasn't me. But that was the purpose of even this morning, is to just give our hearts over again fully. To allow that water and that oil to be poured over into our hearts and soften our hearts, that we would see again, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. And that's what I'm saying, that as we're doing this, as you yield yourself to God in this way, the eyes of your heart are going to be enlightened, that you will know what the hope of your calling is. See, he's doing all of this. He's bringing us into something. Verse 19, and I read it, but it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? That word according is the same reference. So what God did in Christ when he rose him from the dead, that same degree of power is the same degree of power that's working in us right now who believe. That is the full power of God that rose Christ from the dead. That is the exact same power that he's working in you and I right now. Literally means that your heart may receive the brightness of hope resulting when the wealth of God's investment in you is understood. Colossians 1, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, here we just see another example of why it is so important that we render our hearts, that we surrender our hearts all over again, that we would know and walk worthy of our calling, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. God is releasing it. He's releasing callings. He's releasing new mantles, new anointings on this house. Listen, Rick, right now, I saw it in the spirit this morning. When this man comes back, there's going to be a different mantle on him. I thank God that we have a pastor who will stand before us and say the things that he says. I called him the one day and I said, Rick, the stuff you're talking about, man, you're not being political. Political would have been him going and trying to push his own agenda. Do you realize the enemy showed up at his door? The enemy showed up at our door, disguised in a political arena. And if we can't get past the enemy disguised as political whatever, we'll never be able to stand in the face of the enemy when he comes with persecution. This was just but a small taste, and look at the discord that it kind of caused. But we get to see it now, and we're going to have that grace that empowers us to bring this back around again. But even in the days that he would say and talk about political things, he wasn't being political. It was that the enemy showed up at his door disguised as this, and he addressed it. Rick is a David who came to the battlefield to just bring his brother some food. But he saw Goliath, 40 days, I think this he came, to mock Israel. And Rick, David, comes and he sees this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine standing here mocking my people? Rick is a good shepherd who has taken us and he's gathered us together. He's gathered us and over his wing. He's brought us up underneath of his wing in the shadow. If we could get up underneath of it, we'll find a resting place from the scorching heat. And he shows up with 5 smooth stones in his pocket. He doesn't try to put on somebody else's anointing. He doesn't try to put on somebody else's armor. He's stepping out onto the battlefield and he's addressing this thing that was at our door. I bless him and God, and he's coming back with a different mantle. We're going to see on him and fill us both. Not that the old didn't work or it's just new. It's a greater level of authority. And authority is coming on this house because of the things that they're choosing to lay down and step into. And I'm sure you guys have known that about them. And I guess I never realized the sacrifice. So I've only preached 3 weeks in a row. And I was telling Kenny this morning, but I knew it was ending too, right? So you could do pretty much anything, and when you know it's about to end, it's like, okay, man, one more Sunday and I could get through this. 40 years, they've been every day. You guys, 40 years, every day. Listen, you're about to cross over. There's been a turnaround. God is bringing you into the land that he promised you in the beginning. You're going to see it fulfilled. Because you chose this, not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God, both the Logos and the Rhema, you continue to believe. You continue to believe the prophetic words, and you've used them as stones over the years. You still have that flaming sword. God is going to remantle you, and you're going to yield this sword. You're going to wield this sword, and you're going to see the heads of snakes and scorpions cut right off. I bless you with that authority. She's kind of like this scary prophetic person that you know when they get around you, it's almost like even just to sit down, and I see this on you, Karen. The presence and the glory that's about to come upon your life, even people sitting next to you will begin to tremble. And they'll know that there's secret sin in their heart, and they're going to cry out because you're going to walk in the holiness of God. You have this whole time. You've allowed the Lord to deal with your heart. You are a holy woman. You are a woman of holiness and purity. And any voice and any word that has ever come against that, I root it out now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a flaming sword with her, by the way, and in case you guys missed that. Yeah. But he's had to build up your spiritual muscles because it's a heavy sword. But you're going to be able to swing it light and easy because you're yoked with Jesus. These are the things he's doing, guys. I can't get off it. I can't get away from it. You know, I had a friend tell me one time, and I was probably only coming for maybe a year, and all this prophetic stuff was just welling up within me, and I was sharing prophetic things and prophesying over the house, and he goes, well, man, he says, don't you think that in this, and I was trying to figure out where I belonged and all this other stuff, and I tell you, one of the things that the Lord used as an anchor to my soul in this house was that if the things I was prophesying, if I believed them to be from the Lord enough to say them, why would I not stay to see them? Right? And it was kind of like, yeah, well, you would think, like, duh. But it was like this shock to my spirit. Like, wow, man, you mean to say that I would stand up here and prophesy what I see in the spirit and then still feel like I needed to go somewhere else? It doesn't even make sense. So I believe that the things that the Lord has said, to the degree that I'm staying to see them, and I'm just thankful that I get to be a part of it with you. He's doing it. He's remantling. There's a new wineskin. Listen, he's not going to take a new patch and sew it to an old piece of garment because it's going to tear and it's going to rip and make the tear even worse. There's a new mantling coming. There's new wineskin coming, and God is going to pour out oil upon us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, and this is why this is so foundational. So if we could tie everything that I've said over the last couple weeks and understand, remember I said that God was bringing fire to the structure of a thing, and now he's bringing the fire to the foundation, and he's revealing and reforming and revealing and restoring these things. Reformation to our foundation, that's just a phrase that I kept hearing over and over a few weeks ago. But this is why it's so important to understand the foundation of the Word of God. And Paul says this in 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, that it's almost like I urge you. Like if somebody could grab you by the front of your shirt is the intensity that Paul says this to the Romans. He grabs them by the fronts of the shirt almost. And to say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Transformation is the goal. Amen. To be transformed into his image. To be a house transformed, that we wouldn't just have visitation, but we would be a place of habitation. That the Lord could come and dwell and remain and stay because we continue to allow him to transform us. We are to be transformed by a renewed mind committed to the ideals of the kingdom of God. That word prove in that sentence, it means to test and prove by practice in everyday life that God's will for us is good, acceptable, and perfect. Which it all begins by receiving new wine and a new wineskin. I kind of want to, you don't have to flip here. I want to show us what happens when we allow the Lord to give us a new heart. And you could write this down for your notes. Ezekiel 36. Starting in verse 25, I want to show us a picture, because we have a lot of the national prophets and prophetic people are prophesying, you know, a billion soul harvest, right? We are coming into the greatest harvest that we have ever seen in our lifetime and before our lifetime, probably since, you know, the Holy Spirit fills on Pentecost. But I believe it actually starts right now today with our hearts being softened. So a billion soul harvest, greatest harvest we've ever seen. I believe it actually has already begun today because God is preparing our hearts. And watch what happens. We know in Ezekiel 36, verses 25. I'm just going to read through here a few verses. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. And by the way, really quickly, I had a dream a few weeks ago, and In the dream, there was some things that took place in the beginning, the middle of the dream. We were together in this armored vehicle, and I know Karen was there, and Phyllis was there, and Cheryl was there, and I seen a lot of the women, and I saw Rick there, and he was holding Micaiah, and I kept yelling, "We have to get inside, the hail is coming, right? The hail is coming." And Rick, in this great authority and boldness, and I think Karen as well, you guys both said that the idols are coming down. The idols are coming down. And they said this, and I knew we had to take cover for a moment, but the idols are coming down. Verse 26, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." So we see this, obviously we know this takes place at salvation, where God gives us a heart of flesh, takes out our heart of stone, gives us a heart of flesh, but I believe it's something that we just continue to grow in. We continue to allow him to take out the stony places of our hearts, give us a heart of flesh, and continue just to work that water and that oil into us. And watch what happens after God's people get a new heart. Chapter 37 comes along, and we see this is the chapter where Ezekiel is told to prophesy to a valley of dry bones. And the Lord asked him this question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So Ezekiel answers, and he says, "Oh Lord, you know." Again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." He prophesies breath into these bones. These bones become alive. They become a great army for God. Verse 10 in chapter 37 says, "So I prophesied and he commanded me, and breath came into them and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." And why I say that is so relevant, because first, the hearts of the house of Israel had to be changed before they were able to prophesy to a valley of dry bones that comes alive, skin comes upon them, the sinews, the breath, and now they stand before Ezekiel as a great army. There's a great harvest before us, but it actually begins with the softening of my wineskin. So that when he pours out these things, I will be tested to see how much I could be trusted. We get to rejoice in that. Jesus. Part of all of our purpose to be raised up in these last days is to see and be a part of the will of God, to see the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Which Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Every time we demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is manifest on earth as it is in heaven. So soften our hearts and make us a ready people. Again, I just mentioned a few weeks ago about 1 Kings 18. That's what we're doing. We're turning our hearts, we're turning our attention to the small thing that seems like it may be a common thing, but really it's a holy thing. God is doing this. He is softening our hearts. He's making us a ready people. He is revealing, removing, reforming, and restoring. He's bringing us back to a place and all the promises that we've been given. He's remantling, he's renewing. Because I believe that God is going to pour out his spirit upon us as he has promised and as he desires to do so. We're going to have influence in regions. Maybe I should say this to only him, but I'm going to say it to all of us. On top of Rick's new mantling, he's entering into ascending season. There has always been this call on Rick to go and to share and to preach. He's entering into that place. He's coming into that place where he's going to be asked to come and speak. Places probably that he's always felt like maybe he didn't quite, whatever. It doesn't matter. God is going to use our pastor in these next coming days in a way, in a degree that was prophesied before he's ever been formed into his mother's womb. With the new mantling on Rick, there's also ascending season. He's being called to go and to minister. So I want us to keep our leaders lifted up. Amen. I have some lyrics here, and we'll close with this. Lord, I want to give us some time too. If there's things that you know that are in your heart, that you know you need water and oil and you want prayer for. The longer I've walked with the Lord, which isn't been long, but the longer I walk with the Lord, even in my places of feeling on fire and alive, I still come to this realization because it's an ongoing process. This Keith Green song, My Eyes Are Dry. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you probably have heard it or know it. This is a song he says, sings. My eyes are dry and my faith is old. My heart is hard and my prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. But what could be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. It all starts with the wineskin. And even just the word that Diane had over us this morning about his everlasting love. And these are the things that he's pouring out upon us. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. And I know you guys, Pam and Kurt, I know you guys didn't know what I was sharing today. And I don't know, Pam, if you were in here, but I had made mention that one of probably the most profound prophetic acts I have ever seen that had hit me for such a kairos moment is when you guys poured your communion into the water. And it was just so significant. You understand, they had no idea about, I'm talking about new wine today, and they are obedient to the Lord to do this. These are not common things. This, we're living in a holy moment. And I don't want that to pass, and I don't want my heart to become hardened again to consider it common. So I want to just, you're free to go. I bless you. If you want prayer, I want to pray for you. If you know that there's areas of your heart, frustrations, again, if you just need a touch from God, I want to agree with you. I want to agree with you and pray for you. And we can be assured of this, that God, this new wine is for whoever desires it. The new mantling is for whoever says, yes, Lord. You don't even have to do anything to get it other than just a yes in your heart and in your spirit. So as long as you are willing and able to allow him to bring you through whatever it is that he wants to bring you through, the wine is for you. The new garment is for you. It's a cloak he's putting on us. It's for you. All we have to do is just say yes. So if you're just saying yes today for new wine, for a new garment, and you want to just come and just respond to that, man, maybe you could play that if you could. We're just gonna have that song play again. And if you know that that's just the cry of your heart, and that's what you're desiring and longing for, let's pray.